Chapter 13. In Absentia. The corridors of HAB Block 274 Delta were pitch dark at night. When the lighting protocols had been set centuries before, it had been decided that the public lighting levels should mimic those of the outside world, hundreds of yards away beyond the block's outer walls. So it was that in the daytime, the halls were lit by the acid yellow glow of the ceiling lumens, and at night, the ceiling lumens died away completely. In those hours, when someone standing under the sky would have benefited from the faint glimmer of moons or Ascension City's light pollution that hid the stars from view, the residents of 274 Delta existed with no light in their hallways, other than whatever they brought with them. Not everyone that passed through those hallways needed light, however. There were three of them, walking with the soft, practiced tread of professionals. Amateurs would have crept along, moving unsteadily on tiptoe, and brushing along the walls, and attracting more attention by dint of their unnatural movements had they been heard through the thin walls that separated them from the other residents. Instead, the trio walked quickly and with purpose, so that if anyone thought they'd heard something and stopped to listen, the footsteps from outside would already be fading. And in these halls, rarely patrolled by proctors, and where the watchmen were little more than semi-legitimised extortionists, it was rare for someone to take an interest in anything that did not directly concern them. They came to a halt outside a HAB's front door and took up positions, one standing on either side and the third kneeling directly in front of it. A data slate briefly glowed green as the kneeling figure activated it to double-check the number, then was darkened again and put away. The face, thus momentarily revealed, was hooded, with the grill of a metal breathe mask, and lenses that either covered their owner's eyes, or possibly replaced them entirely. The kneeling figure leaned forwards, a long, multi-pronged tool held between their fingers. The door was secured by only a cheap, primitive mechanical lock. There was no sophisticated code entry or fingerprint recognition systems in HAB Block 274 Delta. The tool probed into it, expertly manoeuvred by deft digits, and the lock clicked open in a matter of seconds. The figure on the right-hand side of the door went through first. The long-nosed shape of a silenced auto-pistol raised and tracking across firing arcs. His opposite number followed, snapping out a long, thin rod that crackled into blue-white life, a shock baton. The kneeling figure waited for their companions to enter before following, closing the door behind them and gently locking it from the inside. From arriving at the door to being inside the HAB with the door shut again, had taken less than 10 seconds. There was little enough space inside the HAB, and the trio covered it expertly and quickly, but clearly didn't find what they sought. They came to a frustrated halt after a brief flurry of activity. "Lights," said one of them, the first to enter.
"They will not be voice activated in these domiciles," replied the one who'd picked the lock.
"I know that,"
the first speaker replied, exasperation audible in his tone,
"but you're standing next to the switches."
The lockpicker reached out a hand, and a moment later the HAB's lumens flickered into life. Two of the intruders reached up to remove infragoggles from their faces, but their naked eyes showed nothing further to what they'd already seen. The HAB had clearly been occupied until very recently, as was evidenced by the plate of half-eaten but not yet mouldy food on the floor, the scattering of old devotional pamphlets, and the faint aroma of unwashed clothes. However, the dresser, with what looked to be hastily emptied drawers, the loose floor panel, which might have been levered up to remove valuables secreted beneath it, and the empty space surrounded by burned incense, which was just the right size for an effigy of the god emperor, strongly suggested that whoever had lived here was gone, with little intention to return in the immediate future.
"You're certain this is the right place?" the first speaker asked. "This residence is registered to Tekoa and Amma Young," the hooded figure by the switches replied. "Any error lies with the records."
"Yun clearly had some idea of what might follow his actions," said the second man to enter.
He deactivated his shock baton, retracted it, and replaced it on his belt.
"The question is, what motivated him to try to access those records in the first place?"
"Brabantis,"
the first speaker said, pinching the bridge of his nose with his left hand in apparent irritation.
"It'll be Brabantis. It seems that woman just can't keep her nose out of anything.
If she has relocated the junior sub-prefect to within her own premises, we are very unlikely to be able to reach him," said the hooded figure.
"We would not," the second man said. "But
Too risky to break cover at this point, the first man broke in firmly. Besides, what's done is done. Either Brabantis has the records or they don't. We should find out soon either way.
He shrugged and holstered his auto pistol.
You never know. Emperor willing, it could work to our advantage.
A hissy, crackling wheeze that was probably sarcastic laughter emanated from the hooded figure.
Yeah, yeah, the first speaker muttered. When did you become so cynical?
There was a momentary pause.
That wasn't a literal question, the first speaker added in a tone of mild disgust. He shook his head. Come on, we're wasting time here, and the boss isn't going to be pleased.